Hello, everybody, and welcome in to the Apples and Genos Fantasy Hockey Podcast. My name is Nate Grootniplink. I'm the creator of Apples and Genos, originator of the Zero-G Draft Strategy, and in this podcast, Blake and I are going to talk about the biggest hot shots and have-nots of the last couple of weeks. Let's get it. And of course, I have your friend and my best friend, the man widely known as the fantasy schemer, Blake Creamer. Blake, how are you feeling tonight?
Fantasy schemer? I don't know. That sounds a bit negative, Nate. I don't know. Are you giving me a backhanded compliment right here?
I don't know. There could be some, you could be known as the Machiavellian member of the Fantasy Hockey Content Creators Club. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
That's more like it, but nothing rhymes with Machiavelli, all right? Except for...
This is true.
Jelly. Oh, God. we lost it. What the hell? Like, this is a sidebar, but, like, what are those jelly structures that people make for, like, Thanksgiving and stuff? You know what I'm talking about? Or, like, even worse, what about jelly with marshmallows in it that someone like your grandma would bring over and you're like, thanks, I guess? I mean, I don't know. What the hell? Why are you doing this? I don't know. You're with me on this.
I don't have experience in either of those realms, unfortunately. What I do have experience with is sweating my playoff matchups. I've got one going on right now, and I was feeling pretty good about it, but I have to take both assists and hits. He's got more players going than I do. He's only 5 hits behind me, 3 assists. He's got, like, Lawson Crouse and Adam Larson going for him, and I've got these gentle parents, Nick Schmaltz, Jerry McCann, Troy Terry, they don't believe in hitting. They're not going to do that for me.
They're old dancing boys.
So I'm sweating that one.
I got some good news for you here, buddy.
All right. You hit
big,
me.
Big Dookie just got a big goalie. All right.
No way.
Yeah, he did. I know you got Duclair in there. So you know what? Congratulations to you. And in another way, congratulations to me. All right, that feels cool. We'll talk about that later.
Well, I was going to talk about my Stromer alert, but now you're just dookied all over it. So we should probably just switch over into news and notes. We got to do some newsies. And we got to start with Tampa Bay. Apparently, it doesn't matter for Anthony Duclair, but Victor Hedman and Braden Point are missing this game. Lower body injuries, not really any other info at the moment. Obviously keep an eye on the situation. All the peripheral guys probably get a little bit of a boost in terms of ice time. It looked like I saw a tweet. I think I just want to verify. Yeah, it was Radish getting the top power play look there. So that's interesting, I guess. I mean, how much are we going to read into one game here? We got to find out what's actually going on with these guys and if they're going to actually get some time off. But Darren Radish, top power play, Tampa Bay, it's happening.
What a world. So, what a world.
What a world. This world also includes Anders Lee having a knee-on-knee hit in the game on Sunday. Possible he could face suspension, so watch that. I mean, the Islanders already had a bad schedule, so he's definitely a drop if you are rostering him, even in deeper leagues. Forsling and Barkov both still out in this game that was played here on Sunday. Sounds like Barkov's probably going to be back Tuesday, but if not, obviously game after that seems very, very likely. Forsling, it's just an illness, so whenever he's back to normal, he'll be back in. Vander Kane took a maintenance day on Sunday as per the coach there, so just keep an eye on that. He's obviously dealing with something, but there seems it's nothing too crazy. They just didn't want him playing the back-to-back, I guess. And in that case, Adam Henrique played on the second line with Leon and McLovin, Leon Draisaitl and Warren Fogle, that is, for the uninitiated. Vander Kane has been on the third line recently as well, which has been capping his fantasy value. And obviously not getting any power play time with guys like 50 goal scorer Zach Hyman over there in Edmonton. Dakota Joshua could be back for the Canucks this upcoming week, which is kind of interesting because the Canucks do have one of those schedules that includes an off night, which is the greatest thing we have to hold out hope for in the barren wasteland that is week 24 for streaming purposes. He practiced in a non-contact jersey, nearing return from LTIR with that hand injury. Could be a low-key add, brings periffs. When they were playing together, that third line with Bluger and Garland worked pretty well. So not sure what they'll do when he is back, but I mean, in this scenario that we have, he is someone that you might be interested in. Maybe you can stash him for the week and get that Sunday off night. That's a potential route that you could look at. Aiden Hill didn't finish the game for Vegas, being evaluated. Hopefully we get some more info on Monday. But in the meantime, Logan Thompson, he was dropped in Kekupful, and I was able to pick him up off waivers, and that's looking like an even better move now. Already was thinking he was going to get me two games. Now it's looking like he could even potentially get me three games if Hill misses any time here. So definitely Logan Thompson, if he's been dropped in your league, is someone you should probably be going out and taking a long, hard look at. He's been playing better of late as well. Ilya Samsonov was injured, making a save in the Leafs' last game. Sheldon Keefe said he was fine. That was basically all we got. So in the meantime, Joseph Woll obviously gets a boost. The Leafs really have no incentive to rush Samsonov back. If he's got anything going on, they're going to make sure he's absolutely 110% before he's back in a game. So I think that probably Woll actually gets a couple games for the Leafs at least this week, if not all three. So that's a look as well. Any notes here on the news and notes, Blake?
Not really. I was telling you off air there, I did go out and pick up Woll immediately once I heard Samsonov was injured, because I thought it might be longer and it might be like a smash play for me. But of course, he has to be fine. Thank you, Coach Keefe. But yeah, I think, like you said, Woll could be in for a nice little week here.
For sure. All right, let's get into hot shots. We'll start with the Tampa Bay Lightning, and the top guys there have been incendiary, as the fantasy schemer might say. Woo! Nikita Kucherov over 3 points a game in his last five. He's got 16 points in his last five games, 13 of those assists. Just absolutely wild stuff from this man, reclaiming the NHL scoring lead from Nathan MacKinnon. It's been one of the more interesting back and forths of the season. Braden Point has 13 points of his own, including 8 goals in the last 5 games before missing this game here today. And then Steven Stamkos, 5 goals, 5 assists, 10 points of his own in 5 games. So all the top-end stars on the Tampa Bay Lightning have really been popping off. Usually we don't spend too much time on these kind of guys, but I mean, you got to acknowledge what these guys are been able to do. Braden Point first in individual scoring chances, 4/60 through this 5-game stretch. Stamkos easily the best stretch of his season so far, and it comes in my bye, which is just great in the one place where I have him rostered. So hopefully he continues the hot streak into next week for me. But overall, just want to highlight what an incredible season Kucherov especially is having. Yep. I mean, Point has 94 points and is pacing for 94 points, and Kucherov is pacing for 146. Like, this is just bonkers stuff, like far outpacing what's a terrific season from Braden Point. Just absolutely wild what Kucherov has done this season. I don't know if there's much to add here, Blake, but let's throw a wrench at you. Steven Stamkos, even with this great stretch here, he's going to give you an off night this week, and then he's going to sit on your bench for the rest of the week. Are you considering in any scenario dropping Steven Stamkos?
Oh, God. You would do that to me, wouldn't you?
I would.
You know what? I think no, because if this is your last week, like if this is your finals for some reason, maybe. But not when they're going like this. Like, he's going to be in your lineup on Saturday. You know, to quote you, like, I'd be trying to hold Stamkos there. There's no way that I'm looking like, oh, you know what, Stamkos, I'm going to bounce him. No, like, this guy's popping off there. The whole team is going nuts. But we do got to keep an eye on this injury situation, right? And my gut is telling me this is load management. right? Like they're just like, okay, yeah, just take a game off. Like we don't need you out there right now. They're battling like little nicks and cuts and bruises and whatever, right? So I'm not too concerned, but I mean, if Braden Point and Nikita Kucherov missed some time, yeah, it's going to lower Stamkos's value, obviously, right? Because these guys, a lot of their value comes because their power play is ridiculous. Nikita Kucherov, what the hell has gotten into this man? I mean, he's just nuts, right? Like 50 power play points last year. He's already had 45 in 70 games. He has his highest time on ice ever. Like, I love that people think Nikita Kucherov is injury prone. Like, what the hell? You would be missing out on all this. You would have missed out on last year where he underachieved actually at 113 points, and you'd be missing out on this insane 144 point pace. So throw some respect on this man's name. He's good to go. He had a couple bad seasons, but you know, that's that. But yeah, I for me, Stamkos, I'm holding, you know, unless something crazy comes up, and you know, you can drop anybody if you need to win, right? But if you've got playoffs after this week, like you want Stamkos in there.
Yeah, the only scenario I can really think of is like an 8-team league, maybe sure, something real small like that. But for the most part, I think Stamkos with this recent stretch of play has cemented himself there. Obviously still on the top power play. I wonder if they even lean on the top two lines a little more because players are getting promoted. Like the top line and the game that is ongoing right now is recording is Kucherov, Sorelli, Hagel, and then Stamkos, Duclair, Paul. So I wonder if those two lines even get a little bit more ice time than they typically do. And so Stamkos might actually see an uptick in overall ice time, perhaps playing with slightly worse line mates, but uptick in overall ice time, maybe that's good enough to keep him on a pretty stellar pace overall. All right, we got to move on. We got to talk about Gustav Nyquist again. Still popping off. 2 goals, 7 points his last 5 games. Nashville continues to be a wagon. Underlying numbers individually are never been very good with Nyquist. He's 217th in shots per 60, 342nd in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60 over the last 5. On-ice numbers, though, continue to be pretty solid. 75th in Corsi, 4 per 60, 74th in on-ice scoring chances, 4 per 60. Now pacing for 73 points on the season, Gustav Nyquist. Tell me you saw this one coming, Blake.
Yeah, hell no. I mean, I like Gustav Nyquist as a streamer, right? Occasionally, especially at the beginning of the year, you're like, oh, Nyquist is out there. Yeah, I'll take a ride. You know what I mean? He's getting line one. He's playing with Forsberg. But I mean, he's not just riding sidecar on that line. Like this guy's, he's a piece of the action, right? 73-point pace. That's no joke, right? So there's clearly some chemistry there on their line. And, you know, he's on the highest point pace of his career. At age 34, I mean, damn, this is an interesting case because I think we're going to start. We have to, again, put respect on this man's name for this season, but I think that he's redlining massively. Like there's no way that this is repeatable. You know, who saw the Predators do what they're doing right now with this, you know, this point streak in games? Like that's not something I saw. That team was really having a hard time scoring goals. It, you know, Josi was cold at one point, and if Forsberg wasn't going, then they weren't really doing anything, right? And now this is just craziness, right? And I think Nyquist as well, like 18 power play points. He's a staple on that top power play. Like that, his floor is rock solid, right? Maybe he doesn't have a 73-point pace moving forward, but he might have a 60-point pace, and that's still very valuable. Like, I don't know. Nyquist, are you holding him? Like, what are you doing in this busy week here with Nyquist? Is he on your bench, or is he a roster player?
Yeah, I think that is the question. I think there are a lot of formats like, you know, Bangers Cats formats where Gustav Nyquist is still, even with this pace of play, is still just a fringe guy. The Nashville Predators play Vegas, Arizona, Colorado this week. So a couple of pretty solid teams this week. They do get Vegas on the back end of Vegas's back-to-back to open the week. So I guess maybe it's not quite as imposing an opponent in that situation as it might be normally, but I would still not really hesitate to drop Gus Nyquist, even with this recent hot stretch. Obviously, it's come with some unsustainable percentages as of late. On the season, it's a little bit tough to say how sustainable what he's been able to do really is. The team has been pretty solid around him, and he's gotten exposure to all the right players pretty much from early on in the season for pretty much the entire season. So overall, you know, it's hard to let go of a guy when he's been so good to you. But if you need to make a hard decision, I would have no qualms personally about dropping him. And honestly, that goes for our next guy as well. Anze Kopitar has 5 goals, 9 points in his last 5 games, easily the best stretch of his season, skating just over 18 minutes a night. Still not great in the underlying numbers, 256 shots per 60, 190th individual scoring chances, 4 per 60, 219 Corsi 4 per 60, 207 on ice scoring chances, 4 per 60. He's shooting 62.5% to get to those 5 goals in 5 games.
Is that good? Week. I don't know.
It seems like it's pretty efficient to me. Okay, now on pace for 27 goals, 73 points. Sounds like an Anze Kopitar season. But yeah, overall, like, basically how this is going to go for me, if I've got Kopitar anywhere, they play Vancouver here on Monday on the off night, and then they play the Thursday and Saturday heavy nights later in the week. I'm not interested in hanging on to Kopitar through that. If there's moves that I can make that actually help my team out, you know, I'm not dropping him just because, but if there is like a, we'll just use the JJ Paterka line, I guess, but if JJ Paterka is out there after the Monday and you can still pick him up, if you're in a league where Paterka is still available, then that's probably a fairly soft league overall. Maybe you don't even have to at that point. That's another conversation. But yeah, I would definitely make that move to get the off nights in a week like this in week 24. What are your thoughts on Kopitar?
Yep, I agree with all of that. I mean, how consistent this guy is. This is unbelievable. What an amazing player. This is a Hall of Famer. For sure. Like just a great career. Age 36. Again, he's just good for his 70 points. Thank you very much. Right. Playing 20 minutes a night, most nights, right. He's averaging, you know, a little less this year, 1930. But yeah, very regularly averages over 20 minutes a night on the season. The power play is good as usual. Another 20 power play points again for Anze Kopitar. Yeah. His shooting percentage right now is currently the highest of his career, right? 19.8. So you know, exactly what you said, like this will fall off at some point. Maybe it doesn't fall off this season. Maybe this is just one of those guys where you're like, yeah, he ran red hot all year and that's great. But going into next season, I do not think we can expect a 70 point season from Kopitar. I just don't see how that's going to happen when you got guys like Byfield and, you know, even Fiala getting more, you know, eating a bit more here with this team. Like, I think they got to start prioritizing a few other guys, but how do you do it when you got this stud, this horse out there playing 20 minutes, like face-offs, you know, he doesn't really hit, doesn't block either really, but you know, he's a great player, but I think you could absolutely drop after the Monday if need be. But I don't know, what's LA's schedule like the week after that? We should look at that because yeah, they play 4-2. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not looking, like you said, I'm not looking to drop Kopitar, that's for sure. But he's on the bubble, right? You got to win, you got to win. And Kopitar is right there. And, you know, you can't afford to take zeros, right? So there you go. Kopitar, you're a stallion.
Yeah, I was going to fight you on the Hall of Fame recommendation there, but I mean, it is tough to argue with the players he's put himself alongside just by virtue of consistency. Like, it's a little bit of the Matt Sundin effect, I feel like, where...
Well, and cups. He's won cups. Yeah,
he's won cups. He's done it all. Like, if you just look at the players around him, the players right below him, Bobby Hull, Sergei Fedorov, Rod Brind'Amour, Patrick Marleau, Dino Cicerelli all have less points in their career than Anze Kopitar. The players right above him, Vincent Domfus, Bernie Nichols, Bobby Clark, Jeremy Roenick, Larry Murphy, Jean Beliveau. He's going to catch all those guys. Yeah, it's a pretty good list that he's put himself in. He'll be top 50 pretty soon.
Why the hell are you Googling? All right. We should be together. All right. We should be like this. What I say, you say. All right. And vice versa. All right. Come on. We got to put up a united front here, Nate. What do you think?
Oh, you know, I'm just, I just want to present good data to the listeners. Yep. Okay. That's all what right. I'm going to go with. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. One guy who doesn't need any stories to tell his plays doing it all for him. Jason Robertson, 7 points, his last 5, only 2 goals amongst there, but skating just over 17 and a half minutes a night as Dallas continues to spread their lineup, just pretty evenly all the time. Yep. 99th in shots per 60, 207 in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. Don't love that. 82nd in Corsi, 4 per 60. 73rd in on-ice scoring chances, 4 per 60. Now at a 28-goal, 83-point pace. I mean, it's not what you wanted from Robertson where you drafted him, but it's not like devastating. Really, the goals is what's the most disappointing part of Robertson's profile. I don't know where you had him projected, Blake, but definitely I think it's fair to say both of us thought that Jason Robertson could score a lot more. I had him projected for 46 goals. So for him to pace for 28 at this point in the season, late in the season, is pretty disappointing. So what are your thoughts on Robertson? Obviously, I think given this stretch, you're going to hold him kind of throughout whatever. Dallas doesn't really have a great schedule from here on out in fantasy playoffs, but I still think that it's a team and a player that you're going to want to be invested in.
Yeah. It's been a disappointing season for sure. I mean, I had him as a first rounder, obviously, like late first round, right? I projected him for, I think, 107 points or something like that. So that this is not, you know, this is going to be a good exercise, right? We'll be able to look at that and be like, what the hell happened? I think, and like you mentioned, one of the things is their second and third line are pretty damn good there in Dallas, right? Yeah. Like they don't need to lean on these guys like crazy. So, you know, his ice time, it went down a little bit. Like last year, it's just under 19 minutes. And this year it's, he's going 18-18, right? And again, last year he was crazy on the power play, 41 power play points. This year he's got 24. He's not going to come close to 41 again. But it, to me, the biggest thing with J-Rob is the shots, right? That's what went away. And yeah. I remember we had an episode last year where it's like, it's J-Rob's world and we're just living in it. And you and I were just singing this man's praises. Like, this guy's great. He's good to go. He's number one in shots on goal per 60. He's number one in Corsi 4 per 60. Like, he was doing the thing, right? So I think when you, it takes a lot to get to that upper echelon of those metrics, you know, game in, game out. So I don't know. I had some confidence that he would be able to at least be there. Right. And that's really been a surprise for me this year. Like what is he on the season here? Like 81st in shots on goal per 60. That's a stark difference than where he was last year. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is this season the outlier or is last season the outlier? I don't know. Like we're going to have to look. I want to see what happens with them in the playoffs, because that's always a good indicator to me how they might deploy the player. Like when push comes to shove, who are they putting out there? Right. And I think they're going to roll with their big guns, right? They're going to get J-Rob out there, but I don't know if he's getting the 16 to 18 minute treatment in the playoffs and they're going with Duchesne, then, you know, it's a good data point. Right. But, you know, it's at least he's doing stuff out there. 83-point pace. I think he'll match that. That's no problem. But yeah, disappointing season. Happy he's finally putting it together. I did trade him this year in Kakupful for Kaprizov. What nice. A dunk. What a freaking dunk. Oh, baby. And I still didn't make the playoffs. So shout out to me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough to completely say what Jason Robertson is like. It's also hard to remember that this is a pretty young player, right? Yeah. He's still like last year in that massive breakout year, that was really only his second full year in the league. He only played 54 games prior to, he played 3 games, 51 games, 74 games, and then 82 games, all 82 last year when he had the big breakout, the massive breakout. So last year, for context, 12.2 shots per 60. The year before that, he had 9.9. This year, down to 9.2. So that's obviously not great. And the shooting percentage has come down the last couple of years. He was 18.6 in his first full year, 14.7 last year, where the shots came up in a big way, down to 12% this year. So that's obviously a problem. The individual scoring chances for per 60 have come down as well, kind of in a corresponding manner. So I kind of feel like the shooting percentage is actually a little bit low, and we should expect that that's just some bad variance in terms of the shooting for him. On ice, Corsi 4 looks pretty much the same. The on ice scoring chances 4 actually does look like it came down. The bigger part of it for me is that he's getting significantly less time on the power play. Like that's pretty much where the entire difference in the overall ice time decrease has come from. Last year, 322 average time on ice on the power play. This year, 245. They've also deprioritized his shot, or he's just been taking less shots, however you want to frame that. 21.7 shots per 60 on the power play last year, down to 13.7 this year. And so that's obviously a massive part of where that shots per 60 fall off has really come from. And it seems like it is a little bit of them just prioritizing differently, because it's not like the Dallas power play overall, like still the same Corsi for there, still the same scoring chances, 4 per 60 there on the power play. So it really just seems like they've been running it through other players, and Robertson shooting the puck has not been as much of a focus. Or, you know, maybe other teams have adapted to it and so they've been running it differently. There's multiple layers that you could probably get into with it. I think it's a really interesting case study, though, because it is a player that was on an ascending curve, and so you kind of expect that that player can maintain that kind of height that they reached because they're still so young, and it looks like just a logical, you know, straight line on a graph trending upwards, and now we think he's hit that level, so he should stay at that level. And that's not always the case, as we see with Jason Robertson and also Tage Thompson this year. So it's an interesting case study for sure, something that we'll jump into more in the offseason for sure. So make sure you're staying around for the off-season content here at Apples and Genos. We do kind of thing.
Oh my god, yeah.
All right, so I do want to get over to the Stromer alert. We got Dylan Strome.
Come on.
He's got 7 points his last 5 games, 1 goal, 6 assists. He's doing the thing. Now averaging over 18 minutes a night in the last 5 games. Still, the shot numbers are atrocious. 322nd in shots per 60, 196th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. The on-ice numbers are okay. 62nd, Corsi, 4 per 60, 77th, scoring chances, 4 per 60. On the season, now pacing for 27 goals, 68 points. Pretty solid season from Dylan Strome, for sure. But still a player that I would absolutely not hesitate to punt into the sun this week. How about you, Blake?
Bounce this man. But you know what? I got a lot of respect for Dylan Strome, and I love actually that this guy, like, Washington had this great streaming schedule. This guy was the premier streamer, and he delivered. He delivered in a streaming week that could have been your playoffs. Like, oh man, you're going to, he could actually get drafted higher next year just because of his performance in this week. People be like, I love Dylan Strome, right? Yeah. But, you know, let's temper some expectations, right? Like, you just mentioned his metrics. They're putrid. Okay. And obviously metrics aren't the only thing, right? This guy gets really good opportunity and really good deployment. And you know, he's playing with the best goal scorer of all time. All right. So, you know, you're going to get some assists. You're going to get some apples in there, buddy. But yeah, you and I were talking offline here a little bit. I think Dylan Strome profiles a little bit better to me as a 2C, not so much a 1C. And I know he's 2C on Washington minimum, right? But he does get moved up the lineup. He's good on the power play. I don't have a real big pulse on this player other than he's just doing the thing, right? And he's doing it at the right time. So kudos to you, Dylan Strome. But I mean, I don't think, like, what is he on? Yeah, 68-point pace. Ugh, I mean, this might be how he is. 60 to 65 points. That could be Dylan Strome for his career, right? And that's a nice little career right there. So I think he's going to definitely be a part of Washington's future. And, you know, we'll see what they do next year. But absolutely boot this man if you need to. This guy is still a streamer. He's only 39% roster on Yahoo. Like, this, he's redlining to do this type of stuff, right? So he's not shooting. Buddy, you got to shoot the puck. All right, and he's not doing that, but that's fine. Shout out to Dylan Strome.
Yeah, I think I should probably be psychoanalyzed for a lot of things, but one of them should be the reasons why I love Dylan Strome but hate Casey Mittelstadt and Nick Suzuki and players who actually profile very similarly.
I didn't want to bring that up there, Nate, but there's some things going on here.
There are some things going on there. It's fine.
Some bits and pieces.
Choke back the tears at night like I do, so you know. All right, let's keep it rolling. Let's talk about a couple of St. Louis guys that I want to get your take on. 7 assists the last 5 games for Pavel Buchnevich. Last week he was on the have-nots. This week he's on the hot shots. Funny how things can change in a week. And Jake Neighbors, 4 goals, 6 points in his last 5 here. Both of them skating pretty good minutes. 19.5 for Buchnevich, just over 18 for Jake Neighbors. Buchnevich's numbers do not look good. Actually, Neighbors is outpacing Buchnevich in every metric imaginable. 302 in shots per 60 for Buchnevich, 211 in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60, 189 and 195, respectively, for Corsi 4 in on-ice scoring chances, 4 per 60. Whereas you got Jake Neighbors over here, 134 shots per 60, 136 individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. That'll pay some bills. 41st in both Corsi 4 per 60 and scoring chances, 4 per 60. So what are you doing with these two guys this week? Coming off a hot week, but now we're looking at a week in which they play Monday here against Vegas, and then they play again, same schedule as LA, as we alluded to with Anze Kopitar. They play Thursday, Saturday. Are you hanging on to both of these guys, or are you thinking about trying to move off them, move into a goalie stream, a goalie streaming spot, even if that is a thing that people do? I wouldn't know, but apparently that is. So what are you doing with these two guys, Blake? What do we do?
You obviously hold them for the Monday, and then we see what's what, right? You know, this is the time of year where we gotta ride what's hot, right? So if Buchnevich and Neighbors come out and get another 3 points each on Monday, like, you might want to put them in on Thursday. You know, it just, like, we have to evaluate those things, right? But it's literally game to game at this point, right? And you know what's interesting? I forgot, but I went through one of our old episodes recently here, the busts. Top busts, giggity. And Buchnevich was one of them that we had. And I feel kind of good about that, right? Like, this is a guy that lives off massive efficiency, right? I mean, last year, 21.1 shooting percentage. This year, he's down at 13.6, right? And, you know, he had a 87-point pace last year, 67-point pace this year. So I think that this is kind of a streaky player, right? And the variance he has, like, I think he's kind of at his floor right now. So I think there's a little bit more to go, but he's just one of those players that lives off efficiency, and he's not being very efficient right now. But if you look at what's happened in St. Louis this year, like with the coaching change, and that makes a big difference, you know? So I feel like, yeah, see what he does on Monday and then decide what you want to do for Thursday. Right. But, you know, I think I would rather have Kopitar than Buchnevich, honestly. If we're dropping Kopitar, then we're dropping Buchnevich if need be, right? And then Jake Neighbor. Hey, Neighbor. That guy can get booted into oblivion if need be, although I did pick him up just for the one off night in our Experts League with my last move. I'm excited about that. So come on, Big Jakey. Give me some points for the Monday, and then I'll send you off into the sunset.
Yeah, I think that's a totally fair take. I think I am looking at these guys as a one-week play for this week, and then I'll reevaluate if I have to. You know, there's injuries, things happen with your lineup. You know, you might not have to drop these guys, but I'm not going to feel bad about dropping either of them in pursuit of better streams for the rest of the week. All right, we've got to move on from here. I want to direct everyone's attention to the show description at this time. Check out the listener survey that's going to be posted at the top there. We're trying to get everybody's responses in. We've had a ton of responses already, and it's been awesome to read through and, yeah, just see what people liked about what we did this year, what people think we can improve on. We're looking for constructive criticism. It is one of the really just one of the best ways that we can get better at what we do here. We are trying to get better for the listeners each and every year. That's part of our commitment to you. So do check that out. If you don't do anything else that I tell you in this little bit in between the segments, please go over there and fill out the listener survey. It'll only take about 5 minutes. If you do want some help, you can check out the Apples and Geos Patreon. $5 a month, I'll answer any question you need, and we can get you sorted for the fantasy hockey playoffs that are ongoing. All right, we got to keep rolling, Blake. We're getting long in the tooth already, as we do. We got to get into the have-nots. I want to talk about Vladdy Tarasenko. Now, he did get a goal in the game today, but that brings him up to one goal in his last five games and no other points. So it's not been great, and he's averaging under 14 minutes a night. Barkov not being there takes away the possibility that he gets gifted a whole bunch of points just by the greatness that is Alexander Barkov. He's 263rd in shots per 60, 316th individual scoring chances for per 60. I know we were excited about this guy, or a lot of people were, when he went to Florida there and got that deployment, had some nice performances early on. But what's your take on Tarasenko? Are you hanging on to him for any reason right now?
No. I don't think so, right? He's a streamer level to me with this deployment, right? Like, he played 12 minutes in the game today. That's not enough, yeah. Right? So yeah. I love the opportunity, right? If it wasn't this garbage week and if it wasn't playoffs, yeah, I'd be holding Tarasenko. I'd give him a lot longer leash to see how they're going to deploy him, right? But we don't have time for that. I don't have time for, like, 12-minute games in two of his last three. No, I don't care if he's got power play one in that. Like, yes, that's great. It is great, but it's not enough. So we're just looking at classic Tarasenko here. Classic trade deadline Tarasenko. Just goes to a good team trying to win another cup, gets, you know, 12 to 15 minutes a night, maybe plays on the power play, does some stuff, but you cannot rely on it, right? And that's, we need safe right now. And Tarasenko is far from it. So it's a nice little piece here. And if he does, if his ice time starts creeping up, then this guy's a slam dunk for me, because we've seen in the past that Tarasenko can be a metrics guy. He hasn't been this season, that's for sure. Like, his shots are way down. I think he's a supplementary piece. He's a streamer when Florida, you know, if you want to get a Florida Panther in, it's nice to target guys that are on power play one out there. Like, I mean, you know, I look at metrics, opportunity, and deployment, right? But if they usually I look for two of the three, right? Would be good. Yeah. And Tarasenko does have two of the three, right? He's got good opportunity, right? He's got the power play, and he's only really got one of the three because his metrics are terrible. So, you know, but like I said, if he does get more deployment and more, and the metrics start getting better, then I'm interested, but it's too late in the season for that.
Yep. Yeah, I tend to agree. I don't think there's a reason to be hanging on to Vladdy Tarasenko at the moment. I think a lot of people are still caught up in the name brand on this player and what he was once upon a time. I don't think he is that player anymore. Let's talk about some of these really hot topic streamers that we would even consider in any other week. But Pia Suter has to be somebody we talk about, because as of right now, he's still on the top power play. And the Canucks have the Monday off night and the Sunday off night, one of only two teams with two off nights this week, Buffalo being the other. So let's assume Suter still top power play. He plays Monday. Everything goes well. I mean, on Saturday, the power play did score for Vancouver. So likely, I mean, the most likely scenario, it would seem, is that that continues. They don't really have a strong reason to change it up if it's working, I would assume. So let's assume Suter plays the whole game on the top power play there. He plays also with JT Miller, Brock Besser at even strength once again. And the game goes relatively well. We have no reason to believe that things will change beyond that. Are you hanging on to Pia Suter beyond? Well, first off, are you picking up Pia Suter for tomorrow? And then if you are picking him up, are you really hanging on to him all week? Or are you trying to use that slot to, stream some goalies in through the week and try to get some points that way? Maybe even reclaim Suter later in the week after you've done that? Like, what's your modus operandi with a guy like Pia Suter?
Yeah, I like that. I like the options that you presented there. I mean, you can do all of those, right? But the thing is, he needs to be rostered, unfortunately, right? And we're talking about him in the have-nots and that he needs to be rostered, right? Because of schedule. That's it. Like, we're literally streaming guys in for one off night just to not take a zero. That's how bad this streaming week is, right? And it's the playoffs, so that's why we're pushing these guys, right? But it's not inspiring, is it? Like, this guy's got 0 points in five games. Reasonable deployment, right? Just under 16 minutes. That's fine. Metrics, you know, he's 110th overall in individual scoring chances for 60 over the last five. That's okay. And 27th overall in on-ice scoring chances for. So yeah, that'll happen when you're playing with Brock Besser and JT Miller, right? That's a nice little piece there. But I mean, it doesn't feel good rostering Pia Suter, right? But we have seen in the past with him before Lindholm got here, Pia Suter was getting that power play one time and he was doing something with it. He was putting some points on the board. This guy's a Swiss Army knife, right? He's a much better player in real life than he is in fantasy. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. I know that Tocchet likes him and it has no problem moving him up and down the lineup. So he's going to get some opportunity. I think you get him in for Monday and like this week, we're literally assessing day after day. Right. You can make all the plans you want, but I don't think this is a week to just set it and forget it. Right. You can't. So obviously roster Suter in for the Monday. But yeah, like you said, if you need to drop him, you might be able to pick him up again on Sunday. Like if he does nothing on Monday, you might be able to just punt him, get some goalies in there to stream and then pick him up again for Sunday. And maybe he pots you a goal or two or something like that. Right. So there are some different options out there. I do like the player. I think he can produce some offense. He hasn't been, which really sucks going into this week, but I mean, power play one, that's your Huckleberry on the Canucks. That's who you want to be rostering.
Yeah, so that was going to be my next question. You got Nils Höglander, who dropped two goals in the game on Saturday. So obviously after we talked about the waiver wire pickups, he still only played 12:59 in that game, even though he was playing on what looks like a top line with Elias Pettersson and Connor Garland. Took four shots, had three hits, so that actually looks pretty nice. And then Connor Garland had two assists and four shots of his own, played 16:10, obviously a little more ice time there. Is Suter still the guy for you over both of those, or are you considering them?
It's a good question. I mean, I think we have to put the most things on our side possible, right? Yep. And to me, there is a major, like being on power play one on the Canucks is... that's the place to be. So, I mean, in a bubble, I'm taking Garland, right? And then I'm taking Höglander, and then I'm taking Suter, right? But with Suter on power play one, I'm taking Suter, and then I'm taking Garland, and then I'm taking Höglander, right? Like Hoaglander's great, but just under 13 minutes a night, that's not going to cut it, right? It's like we're playing roulette, you know, and you put it like, oh, 71 red or whatever. It's like, oh, it didn't hit. Like that's what we're doing when we pick up a guy like Nils Höglander. Whereas, you know, if we pick up a guy like Pia Suter, it's like, okay, red. I'm betting on red. Like we have a better chance to get something done, right? And I do like Connor Garland a lot. I obviously he's got 5 points in the last five games. I mean, Suter and Garland, I would lean Suter because of the power play. But if you picked up Garland there, it's not a whiff. Like you're getting a guy that can do stuff. He's actually playing really well. He's a dog. I love that player in real life too. Like this guy in the corners is such a beauty. Like he's just a fun player to watch. He's a little pinball out there. But again, none of these guys are players we can rely on. So I'm going with the information we have, which is power play one, Suter. If any of these other guys get on there, we're picking them up, right? So we got to keep an eye on game day lines.
Yep, I absolutely concur 100% with that take. For me, it is Suter, then Garland, then Höglander. Another player from Buffalo. So Buffalo plays on Wednesday and Friday off nights this week, so they're a little bit more predictable. We can get to Wednesday and see what the lines are. But Jordan Greenway has had some interest, especially in deeper leagues, just because of the things that they've been doing with their line. So he's been playing on the Cousins line there with Zach Benson. He's also gotten looks on the top power play unit, which has made him fairly interesting. Obviously, I'm just checking to see they have a game ongoing right now. That would be good information to have, but so far no power play time for the Buffalo Sabres in this one, so no information there on if they went back to Greenway on the top power play there. But he's been playing 19 minutes a night, so that part looks okay. 176 shots per 60, 150th individual scoring chances for per 60. Those are not terrible numbers, definitely better than where he has been for most of the season. On ice numbers not as good, 256 in Corsi 4 per 60, 240 in scoring chances 4 per 60. How desperate do you have to be, Blake, to be rostering Jordan Greenway this week?
You know damn well I picked up Jordan Greenway in a league or two. Come on. I don't feel as confident, and confident is not the right word because I'm not confident in Pia Suter, but I feel less confident in Greenway than I do Suter. And the only reason is this is kind of his first foray into power play one. Right. Like Suter's been there before one time, right? That's the advantage to Suter there. And he's done something with it. Whereas like, I mean, this guy got against Edmonton on the 21st, he got 4.5 minutes on the power play, like, you know, one shot on goal, two hits, four blocks in 22.5 minutes, buddy, what are you doing out there? God, do something. God, geez. So, I mean, yeah, we need to see that data point. If he's on power play one, he needs to be rostered. It's the same exact argument as, Suter, and it's just for this week, right? But I don't know. I don't feel super confident on that. This guy that's not something that he normally does, power play one with Buffalo. No. And I'm looking at the game here today. He's getting like second line minutes, third line minutes, where they're actually playing Thompson and Tuck. They're giving him the first line treatment, Nate. What are the, 70 games in? Thank you, Mr. Granato. What the hell are you doing? How do you sleep at night? All right. You ruined Tage's season, you dingus. But, in a category league, Jordan Greenway, very valuable, right? He does other things. Even in Kakupfel, like a 14-teamer, right? Four blocks the other night, that's pretty nice. He can do that. So I do like him as a streamer. I think he needs to be rostered this week. And, you know, Buffalo does have a different kind of schedule, right? They play Wednesday, Friday. Like, you could play Pia Suter for the Monday and then go pick up Jordan Greenway for Wednesday, Friday. And that's a nice little stream right there. You know what I mean? You're giving yourself the best chance to succeed. But I mean, temper expectations. This guy, you know, like, you know what I do when I pick up streamers, especially in Kakupfel? I basically just look at what kind of points would they get if they get no goals, no assists. Like, mm-hmm. are they going to get shots? Or are they going to get blocks? Because those are the key, point, the things that give you points in Kickupful. So, and I think that Jordan Greenway can, at his base level, like with 0 points, like he can pot 2 to 3 points a night, which is valuable, right? Instead of taking a zero. So that's high praise for Jordan Greenway. But here we go. This is where we're at.
That is kind of where we're at. And yeah, I would still have some interest in Greenway. I guess I would say with Greenway, but I don't mind it just because of all the things that you mentioned. Zach Benson being the other guy, he played 1939 in the last game. We'll see where he gets to tonight. It looks like he's pacing for less than that tonight, but definitely Zach Benson, the other guy who's kind of down the lineup, but also not on the top power play. So he's even a tier below Greenway for me at the moment. All right, we got to move on to a couple of Vegas Golden Knights. So Vegas has the Monday off night here. They also have the Tuesday. So if you happen to have an open spot on the Tuesday, then you can get the back-to-back to open the week, and then maybe you could go to a Greenway, and that would actually be a really nice stream for the week. So we got guys Ivan Barbashev and William Karlsson both showing up here on the have-nots, both just with one goal in their last five with no assists either. Barbashev just over 18 minutes, Karlsson just over 16. Carlson's actually got pretty solid metrics under the hood, 98 shots per 60, 55th individual scoring chances, 4 per 60, 64th Corsi, 4 per 60 on ice scoring chances, 4 per 60 down at 154, but even that is not atrocious. And then for Barbashev, 163rd in shots per 60, he's actually up there, 15th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60, that's a nice number, 71st in Corsi, 4 per 60, 90th in scoring chances, 4 per 60. So overall, like on the season, obviously Carlson's had better season overall, 34 goal 65 point pace to Barbashev's 18 goal 46 point pace. Where are you at with these two? Are they just a Monday Tuesday stream to you? Are you hanging on to them? Vegas does have one of the better schedules for the rest of the playoffs, so if your playoffs are just starting this week and then you're moving on into weeks 25 and 26, then Vegas does look a little bit more attractive beyond this week. They play the problem with Vegas is that they do have only two games in week 25, but in week 26, which is when your championships would be played, if you do have that schedule, then that's when they really shine. They have four games, four off nights in the first week of what amounts to like an 11-day quote unquote week in the Yahoo scheduling, and then they play six total off nights across the six games that they play, all on off nights. So they have a perfect schedule basically for week 26. So basically I want to know from you, Blake, you're playing them this week. They're probably fringe guys, not likely to crack your lineup for Thursday, Saturday. Then you know you're getting only two games from them in week 25. But then if you get them all the way there to the finals, then they're absolutely crushing. Do you run the risk and just drop them after the Monday, Tuesday? What are you doing with these guys?
Probably not. But like, usually it's funny the way that the playoffs happen. Like, again, we're thinking moment to moment here. We're just reacting a little bit in the playoffs because we're at the mercy of these streaming weeks, right? But, you know, if it's a full season, like then we can be a little bit more, you know, proactive. But in this case, I mean, you're not going to get him in on the Thursday, Saturday, right? I don't see how you're going to play Ivan Barbashev and William Karlsson is here. So you're basically getting two games here and then two games next week. The good news is, not next week, but the week after. So I guess week 25, both their games are on off nights. So, like, yeah, you're only getting two games, but you're getting two off nights. So that's valuable as well. But I don't know, not with these players like Barbashev and Karlsson. I don't think I can hold them. Karlsson, it does have some value, but he's center only, I think. Right. I could be wrong on that, but I think he's center only. And then Barbashev is center left wing. So that's kind of nice, but I don't know. I think we have to use these spots for streamer spots. These are not guys that I'm holding just, you know, at all costs. So to me, I would definitely prioritize Barbashev over Karlsson at this point because he's got the line one power play one deployment currently. And, you know, Carlson's just doing the thing, but of course, like, he's doing it on massive efficiency. Like, he's having that kind of year again. He's doubled his shooting percentage over his 2022-23 total, which was 8.8. Now he's shooting 16.1 this year. So it's like 2017 William Carlson, where he got 43 goals on 23.4 shooting percentage. We call him Little Koozie, all right? Little Kuzmenko right here. And I'm never letting that die, all right? Andre Kuzmenko is a legend. And Nate, you must agree with me on this, all right? That's fine. But yeah, no, I'm not. I think Monday, Tuesday, we assess after Monday, Tuesday with these players. Hopefully you can get him in, because that would be an ideal stream, right? Get Barbashev in for Monday, Tuesday, then hit a Buffalo player. Oh yeah, that's about as good as you can do this week, isn't it, Nate?
Yeah, I think that really is. And yeah, for myself personally, I think neither of these players, I don't know that these guys are changing my matchup unless they're playing for me on nights when I have open spots. And so they really are players that I'm looking at as a Monday, Tuesday stream, kick to the curb. If people pick them up and play them in the two game week in week 25, then I'm fine with that. And if they hang on to them into week 26, I'll find somebody else. I'll be all right. I'll move over to Chandler Stevenson or
Anthony Mantha.
Anthony Mantha. Keegan Kolasar. Let's see how far down the list we can go.
Get down there.
But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at basically with these guys, right? So I think that's where I'm going to stay, to be quite honest with you. It's a two-game stream for me, kick to the curb, and if they do get picked up before I can reasonably fit them back into my lineup, I'm not going to be too sad about it. All right, one other player that I wanted to make sure that we got in here. There's a couple. I really want to touch on Roope Hintz here, because it's really interesting, because obviously Hintz plays with Robertson a whole bunch, but while Robertson has 7 points in his last five, Hintz just has one assist in his last five. He's also playing a lot less minutes, 16 minutes on the dot, so almost 2 minutes less than Robertson. Underlying metrics pretty solid, 40th in shots per 60, 26th individual scoring chances, 4 per 60, 83rd Corsi, 4 per 60, 67th on ice scoring chances, 4 per 60. It's a 31 goal 68 point pace on the season for Roope Hintz. And I want to get your thoughts on Roope Hintz. Like, obviously this is a player that we feel has some caliber attached to their name, but realistically this cold streak goes back even further than this. It's 1 point in his last seven games, actually, for Roope Hintz. It's not a great stretch. It's not a great look. He's absolutely sewering you right now at the absolute wrong time for the fantasy playoffs. Is there a scenario in which you just drop Roope Hintz, Blake?
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about better players being drops, right? Especially this year. But I mean, I would like to hold on to Roope Hintz because of the potential, right? But that's where we get into trouble in fantasy, right? Like, he's going to pop off. I know it. It's like, well, maybe not, right? Like, Roope Hintz, yeah, like you said, his ice time has been garbage. You know, last game, 60 minutes, 34. The game before that, 15 minutes. Game before that, 13:50. You know, damn. No, that's not enough. Like, regardless of the player, like, we can't hold on to that if that's going to continue and he's going to keep giving us zeros here, right? But I mean, a lot of what we said about Robertson and, you know, his regression this year, just in terms of output, we could say the same about Roope Hintz, but Hintz isn't as good a player as Robertson, right? I don't think he has a high ceiling, right? So it's almost a little bit more severe, the drop off in Roope Hintz, right? Like, this guy had an 84 point pace last year. You know, he's pacing for 67 this year, which isn't terrible, but yeah, it's just, the shots are down, right? And look at the power play. Same like what you mentioned before, he had 3 minutes on the power play last year, only 2 minutes, 28 seconds average power play time on ice this year, right? So that was a big factor for the Dallas Stars last year and these guys popping off. And you got to think too, mentally, when you got a power play that's just incendiary, that's just going nuts, like, your confidence level is sky high, right? Whereas if you're not getting out there as much, you're not getting that those offensive touches, like, anytime, like, anyone who's played hockey, you know, like, when you're out there in a shift and you're just defending the whole time, like, it's like, what the hell am I even doing here? You know what I mean? I might as well go run on a treadmill. Like, this sucks. I want to get out there. I want to touch the puck. I want to slap it. I want to make passes, plays. So I think that they haven't relied on their top line as much in Dallas here. Their middle six is great. Probably, I mean, is it a hot take to say they're the best middle six in the league? I don't think so. You know, so they just haven't relied on Hintz as much. And he's rewarded them with kind of a mediocre season, right? So that said, could we see playoff Hintz here again? Like, this guy was popping the hell off in the playoffs. Like, That's the part too that we know he's capable of doing. So when we see a 67-point pace here, it's like, what are you doing, my man? We were stoked on this guy, right? Like baby dry. This guy's a power play wizard, setting stuff up, and it just hasn't really come to fruition this year. So long story short, yeah, I would be comfortable dropping hints if you need to, right? But I'd prefer to hold on to him.
All right, so let's make this a little bit more actionable for the listeners. Let's talk about versus some other players who you might be considering playing over Rupe Hintz this week, making Rupe Hintz the potential drop. So let's talk about, let's go Nick Suzuki. Nick Suzuki, Rupe Hintz.
Nick Suzuki, Rupe Hintz. Oh, God. Oh, no, I don't like this.
Top of the line, let's go.
Okay, I'm staying Hintz. I got to go Hintz, even though, yeah, okay, no, whatever. I'm going Hintz.
Jerry
Suzuki, get the hell out of my sight. I'm going Hintz. Get McCann the hell out of my sight. I'm going Hintz.
Robert Thomas.
Ooh, wow. Maybe I'll go with Robert Thomas. I'll go with Robert Thomas on that one.
All right, and from his own team, Matt Duchene.
I'm going Hintz. Get Duchene the hell out of my sight. What was it, Duchene? We don't know. All right, but, you know, I don't want to find out. Get him the hell out of my sight.
Even though Duchene's got 3 points tonight.
Oh, God. I'm not looking at the box score. What? Oh, now you set me up, you son of a gun, you.
And lastly, Wyatt Johnson.
Ooh, I want to go Wyatt Johnson because he's an exciting player. And he, you know what? I'm going to go Wyatt Johnston there. All right. He's getting about the same ice time, for God's sake. And he's actually doing something with it. So there you go.
All right. My take quickly on Rupe Hintz. I think the player's terrific. I think he's playing terrific. It's just not showing up in the stats. There's not a lot of players that I would play over Rupe Hintz. None of the names that I mentioned would I play over Rupe Hintz. So Hintz comfortably in my lineups for this week. All right. The last player that I really want to talk to you about, Blake, is Filip Hronek. We talked about him last week. He's still ice cold, still no points. This has been going on for far too long at this point. Nothing has really changed about his deployment. Nothing has really changed about his underlying numbers. He's just continued to put up goose egg after goose egg. So you're going to obviously hang on for the Monday off night here. You're going to get that game in on Monday and reevaluate after that. Let's say that Filip Hronek scores 0 points once again, which he has proven to be very good at as of late. So what do we do with Filip Hronek beyond that? Let's assume you're running a 4D setup and you can drop Hronek and just add another defenseman and actually get probably only three games, right? I don't think there's any teams. Could you get 4 games? You could get Cam Fowler in there and you could get 4 games. So you drop Filip Hronek and get in Cam Fowler and get 4 games of Cam Fowler for the rest of the week.
Oh, God. Yeah, maybe. There's a whole spectrum there. You choose. But yeah, Hronek is not doing the thing here. Like, he's obviously valuable again because of the off nights. He's the equivalent on defense as Pia Suter. That's Hronek, right? So you like, you know, on the season, yeah, I'm holding him all year for sure. Like, this guy did a bunch of great stuff this year. He's on a 52-point pace. He has 45 points already. That's a great season for Filip Hronek, and he's a very valuable player for fantasy on the year. But right now, it's playoffs. We can't do this, all right? You're giving me zeros, buddy. You're going to ride the pine. So see what happens after Monday's game. And, you know, if you can make something work, like drop him and stream somebody in, you might be able to pick him up again for Sunday. And just a heads up, like in week 25, Canucks have 3 games and 2 off nights. So it's the 2 off nights are nice, but there's lots of teams with off nights next week. It's a good streaming week. So we don't have to hold Hronek at all costs, right? He's, you know, not having him for week 25 is not going to hurt us, right? This guy's got 1.8 games, buddy. You know, what are you doing? He's got a beautiful beard though, and a very nice haircut, but damn. I mean, this is not enough. So, they have my permission to drop after Monday. Let's see what he does. Because they have done a 2-defense power play there at a time during last game. So, and they have had Hronek on power play 1. They put Quinn Hughes on power play 2 for a game or two, right? So who the hell knows what's going on? But the Canucks are playing okay right now. I just can't see that happening. So, you know, lower your expectations and get ready to, you know, bump them out.
Yeah, for myself personally, if that is your situation where you can actually get a bunch of games played out of another defenseman, there is like a semi-legitimate defense streaming option for the rest of the week, then I would absolutely be dropping Filip Hronek. He could score 6 points the next game, and I would still drop him after that game. That really doesn't matter to me in the grand scheme of things. I want the games played. I want to win my week. I want to win a fantasy championship. So that's how it goes for me. If we didn't talk about a player that you want to hear about, make sure you join me for Monday's 8 p.m. EST live stream, where I go through all the puzzling players as submitted by the Apples and Geos Discord server. You can jump in live. You can ask some questions. You can ask about your puzzling players live on the stream as well. Join us on YouTube. Search Apples and Geos Fantasy Hockey. You'll be able to find it. And come have fun. It's been pretty sweet. We've had lots of engagement the last few weeks, especially. People are hyped for their fantasy playoffs, as they should be. And let's get you across the finish line. All right, let's go under the hood now. Let's talk about Thomas Bortolo. This is going to be very far under the radar for a lot of people. I don't think a lot of people are looking at San Jose right now and thinking that this is a great spot for fantasy success. Last 9 games before today's game, 5 goals, 1 assist, 6 points. Really good stuff from Thomas Bortolo in the wasteland that is San Jose.
My God. I had to look this player up.
He's a fairly heralded prospect for whatever it's worth. I think he's a reasonable prospect at the very least. So 15.33 average time on ice in this stretch, 85th in shots per 60, but crucially 7th in individual scoring chances for per 60. And to me, that's a little bit more interesting. Like, I feel like I can excuse the shots being a little low and being maybe a little bit less accurate with the scoring chances. But the scoring chances are very interesting to me. That indicates to me something going on with the player. 21st in Corsi 4 per 60 and 35th in scoring chances 4 per 60 as well. Those are terrific numbers on a team like San Jose. Are you kidding me with the guys that he's playing with? That is just wild stuff. In the last game, he played with Nico Sturm and Justin Bailey. I did not know who Justin Bailey was before I read that on the screen just now. So that's the situation for Thomas Bortolo, and he's absolutely balling out. This is probably the best stat line that anyone who's not a superstar level hockey player would put up in these games. So I just want to shout out Thomas Bortolo. I don't know that he's going to be really relevant for the rest of the season for fantasy hockey, but some of these guys that I'm pinpointing now are just guys that I want to like remind myself, honestly. Like Alex Nylander, I said this, the stretch of play that Alex Nylander put together makes me think that there's something there, and I want to remember that next year if he gets promoted or finds himself in a role where he potentially has this kind of situation rise up again, that I do think that this is indicative of a player's level of talent and that he could potentially provide us with some fantasy goodness. You got anything on Bortolo here, Blake?
No, but I appreciate the shout out of this man because that's what we're doing this for, right? Like, hey, look what this guy did. Like, obviously we're not doing anything with it this year, but this is a player maybe we keep our eye on next season, right? This could be like a late round flyer that you pick up. I mean, we got to see what happens throughout the end of the year. What is deployments like? What is deployments like in preseason next year? Is he even with the team, right? And then, maybe we pounce. Maybe we got a league winner here, Nate. I don't know.
I don't know if I go to league winner, but interested for sure. All right, we got to get over to move of the week. For myself, did the thing with my bye teams. I got Jeff Skinner where he's dropped in a league. I got Elias Lindholm where he's dropped in a league. I picked up Suter for the game tomorrow. I picked up Jake DeBrusk because I did have a spot on the Tuesday, and Boston has a Tuesday-Wednesday back-to-back. So that works kind of just as well as the Vegas Monday-Tuesday back-to-back. Just obviously bleeds into Wednesday, so it's getting one extra day there. You know, I waited on my final ad. I think this is important too, you know, just until I knew that there weren't any drops that were going to be on waivers that would clear before the week was over that I needed to save an ad for. In Kekuffel, I did have a situation where I used, as I mentioned earlier, I used my waiver ad on Logan Thompson. I bid $1, two other people bid $0. And so I'm the proud owner of one shiny Logan Thompson in Kekuffel. And I picked up Keegan Kolesar actually in a league that really values banger stats really highly. So Keegan Kolesar absolutely does that. So really, this is just, I just want to reinforce, basically, this is what you got to be doing with your buys. If you're on buy this week, if you're in a weeks 24 through 26 situation, you're on by this week, then this is the kind of stuff you should be looking to do. You should be looking ahead to the schedule for next week, and you should be thinking about which players you want to be prioritizing. You should be saving an ad for the end of the week and just to see if anybody's dropping anybody, getting crazy. Drops this week could be pretty crazy, quite honestly. We're talking about dropping Rupe Hintz out here, and I almost got Blake to say it outright that he's just done with the man. So this is the barren wasteland that is week 24. So definitely keep an eye out for that. This is what I think you should be doing with buys. Blake, you got anything for me on move of the week?
Yeah, I'll kind of just run through what I did too for our experts league, just talk about the four moves. So I had a buy as well. First place.
All right.
Not even a low key brag, a high key brag, buddy. Oh yeah. So anyways, had my bye week. So I'll just tell you my pickups. I picked up Jordan Greenway. I also picked up Pia Suter, right? So I got the two off nights there, or the off nights. Hopefully they both play well. And then I pounced on Joseph Wall when I heard that Samsonov was down. I thought it was going to be a little bit worse, but I mean, this could equal, like, you know, maybe a 3-game week for Wall. Maybe that would be great. Like, even a 2-game week of Wall, not terrible, right? Because I have Aiden Hill as well on my team, and he was injured. So now he's in my IR, and I was able to snake Joseph Wall, and I feel really good about that. And then just today, I picked up, hey, neighbor, picked up Jake Neighbors. I'm going to roll with that man, see if I can, you know, stay in the flames here. And, you know, it's such a nice feeling, though, isn't it, Nate, being on the bye week? Because I basically did all my four moves already for the week. So now I have four extra moves, so I can just do whatever the hell I want. It's amazing. There's no way that I don't win. And I'm putting that out there right now. I just knocked on wood, but you know, I feel pretty confident. So anyways, those are the kind of things that you do. So that's why the buy is so important, right? You can really set yourself up. Like it gives you a major advantage over your opponent.
Absolutely. All right. We got to get into the head-to-head streamer deathmatch. And unfortunately, with the updates we have from this game going on, I have to crown Blake the victor. Woo! Anthony Duclair, what a week. Actually, I went back and looked while you're talking there, Blake. I went back and looked. This is the highest point total cumulative between our two streamer picks the year. Dylan Strome finished at 25.5 points, and Duclair just eclipsed him at 25.75. He's still got a little bit in the third period here to go.
Ooh, yeah.
But yeah, absolutely crazy week for both players. That's what we like to see.
I love that.
I mean, it's hard to feel too bad about that. Both these guys went off, and Duclair edged it out at the end here. So hats off to you, Blake. 12-10 on the season. Looking good. Looking
Time's
good.
Running out, Nate. Time is running out, buddy. Come on.
Not to worry though, I got Troy Terry this week. I got my boy, he's gonna do the thing. Got Ivan Barbashev, so we will see how that plays out. All right, last order of business. I forgot to do this when I was talking in between the hot shots and have nots, but we do have a new review that came in from JerJam87. Best analysis available in 2024 is the title. This is the fantasy hockey podcast that's currently providing the best analysis. This is hard for me to admit because I've been loyal to the longest running fantasy hockey podcast for 10 plus years. Sometimes I feel like other podcasts are saying player X has 5 goals on 10 shots, so that's not going to continue. Drop him. And he gives the eye roll emoji. A&G goes deeper to dig into the underlying stats, but not too nerdy that you zone out. One thing I really like is when Nate is explaining strategy, like move the week, or examples of his mindset towards your G in season. I feel like strategy is underserved by existing podcasts. I'm on Twitter. I know 90% of the news already. I also like that there is a solid focus on bangers, which is often missing on other podcasts. I find their advice is much more actionable than the competition. It's also more succinct. Blake provides good energy. Sometimes it's a bit over the top for me, but I also
edited that out. Oh my God.
Let him finish.
Okay,
I also laugh just as often, so I can't talk too much yang on him. Honestly, I think that's a pretty solid review. Good stuff.
Yes.
It's a 5-star review. We appreciate that. I will read out any reviews we get. Actually, we're close to 100 reviews on Apple Podcasts. So if you're on Apple Podcasts and you haven't done that yet, help us get to 100 reviews. That would be a nice round number. And as a numbers guy, that would make me feel really good inside. So That is going to be all we've got for this episode. Hopefully it brought you some value, helped you get a little bit better at fantasy hockey today. All the advanced stats you heard today came from Natural Stat Trick, which is a terrific free resource. Many thanks to the band there for supplying the music for the podcast. Be sure to check out their Spotify as well. That's it, folks. Much love.